All right, a little techno music for our engineering friends down at the U of M. It's 5:49 at the Roadhouse on the Shore with CJ and Dave. And the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project just unveiled a new car, the EOS 2. It will be competing in a challenge across the Australian Outback in October, the 2017 Bridgestone World Solar Challenge. And here to tell us more are students Graham Krumpelman and Patrick Zamat, the co-leaders of the project. Welcome to the Roadhouse, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, wow. We've managed this. We've got a three-way conference call going with Graham and Patrick. And I'll just do a little introductory credentials here. Graham is the co-leader and the director of engineering on this project, where Patrick co-leads and directs operations. So if, Graham, you could start us out with your role as the engineering director, what is it that you do for the solar vehicle project?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role is primarily in making sure that this car runs and gets to Australia on time. So a lot of my work is coordinating with each of the different students, making sure that designs are working out right and that they're going to meet our regulations and that the car is going to be fun to drive as well.
I see. So you got to make sure everything works. And Patrick, you're the director of operations. What does that entail?
Well, a big part of my job is making sure Graham doesn't go crazy. But other than that, I'm in charge of the logistics of the program, the marketing, our social media presence, and our finances.
Yes. Who's in charge of catering?
Oh, we don't have anyone there yet.
Well, it looks like quite a interdisciplinary team. Patrick, if you could explain all the different areas that this solar vehicle project comprises, what are some of the teams that are inside of the team?
Well, we have quite a few engineering students, aerospace engineering, mechanical, electrical, some chemical engineering students. But we've also been trying to attract a lot of business students, finance students, marketing students, and some graphic design students, just so the things that we put out look a little better than we have in the past.
Yeah, you definitely get extra points for style and functionality. And Patrick, now you talk about all these different departments coming together. How big's the team in general? How many players you got?
I would say about 40, 45 people. Our number's always a little bit bigger, but I'd say we have 45 people who are part of the core group that show up and do their work when they're asked to.
And these are all University of Minnesota engineering undergraduate students?
Yep, they're all U of M undergrad students.
Much like you guys. Graham, if you could touch on some of the technical details of this solar-powered vehicle, how does it work?
Oh, that's always a fun question to answer. So this is a entirely powered by solar car. We have a battery pack so that we can drive at night if there's no sun or if it's raining. That's always a question we get. The solar array is really what powers it, though. So the designs are all built by students. Most things are also manufactured by students.
Yeah, it looks like a totally in-house production where you guys are like, you know, conceptualizing it, designing it, building it, testing it. How long does it take to put one of these cars together?
We've been working on this car for between a year and a half and 2 years. The designs start almost immediately when the last cycle ends, when we get done with our race, our competition. And then things really start to ramp up when the new regulations come out and we can start designing to that.
So the World Solar Challenge runs every 2 years. It was 2015. You guys participated in that one. I understand, Patrick, a long history of success with the University of Minnesota team. What was it like in 2015, Patrick?
2015 was a great year. We were just racing our second ever cruiser class vehicle, EOS 1, and we managed to take fifth place, which was pretty great.
How many teams total compete?
It varies year to year. That year there was about 13 teams. This year there's over 40 who are in the Bridgestone World Solar Challenge. We don't quite have exact numbers on which are in the cruiser class and which are in the challenger class yet.
I see. And it's a bit of a challenge to get to this stage. Did you guys have to qualify and sort of go through semifinals?
There's no qualifier for this one, but we do have to pass a lot of tests beforehand to make sure that our engineering is, I guess, up to code. For the American Solar Challenge, there is some qualifying rounds, but for the World Solar Challenge, as long as you have a car that seems safe and can compete, and you can get there.
Yes, and it's in Australia, which is half a world away. What kind of logistics are involved with getting the team down there, Graham?
So we have to first figure out how to get our car there, and that's always a fun challenge. Shipping a car across to another continent. And so we work a lot with shipping companies, and we're going to be putting on a boat at the end of July here. And then we, of course, have to figure out how to get our team there, and coordinating everybody, making sure that everybody has a flight, and that we know when we're all going to be arriving, to make sure we can have everybody picked up and make sure the group stays together.
All right. And you mentioned this car being pretty special. Is it fragile? Does it take extra care when you ship it? What's it made out of?
So the solar cells are definitely quite fragile. We usually like to compare them to a potato chip. And we do our best to help protect them, but that's definitely something that we have to be very careful with. So we have to make sure to protect them during shipping. But the rest of the car itself is actually quite strong. We use carbon fiber composites, which is one of the strongest and lightest materials that we're able to work with. And so that really helps give us an edge, because we can build a car that's durable and will stand up to bumpy Australian roads, but is still going to be really light and efficient.
Yeah, it looks like when it comes to efficiency, there's a huge advantage in weight savings. How heavy is this car, and what's its approximate size for the listeners to imagine this car?
Yeah. So the car weighs around 1,000 pounds. We haven't been able to weigh this new car yet. Turns out getting a scale that large is rather difficult, but we'll be getting that soon. And the car itself is about 6 feet wide and 16 feet long, basically the same size in footprint as a normal sedan. It fits two people and has trunk space as well.
That's right. It's a cruiser, right? What type of amenities are involved in the cruiser package, Patrick?
So the cruiser is kind of a cool new competition for solar cars. It not only grades us on what place in the race we finish, but also how just friendly our car is towards, I guess, a consumer. And so we've added all sorts of cool stuff. We actually have a real pleather interior as well as carpeting, like Graham said. And we have a pad in the center console that can give you all sorts of diagnostics on the car and potentially even play games.
Of course. You guys are engineering students after all. What about AC or entertainment, Bose stereo, anything fancy for the sound system?
The stereo hasn't been installed yet. It's still in the works. We might get it installed. We might not. But then as far as AC goes, it all depends on how fast you're going.
That's Mother Nature's job. Well, it's got to be hot in the Outback. I mean, how do you guys manage the heat?
The car can get pretty warm in the Outback. It can get up to 90 degrees Fahrenheit while driving through there. But honestly, right now, our guys just usually tough right through it.
Wow. I'm Dave Terzic. We're talking with Graham Krumpelman and Patrick Zamet, and they are the co-leaders and director of operations on Patrick's charge list, and Graham's in charge of engineering for the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project, a very prestigious group, club of engineers and innovators. And I see you guys endeavor in the ultimate synergy of nature, motion, and innovation. Patrick, could you touch on innovation and what these cars have translated into the real world? What type of technology has been realized as a result of your research?
Well, a big focus on this has been trying to find the most aerodynamic shape for the cars. And for the Challenger class cars, that was found a long time ago, which has led to a lot of things for cars on the road as well as race cars, because when we're traveling this light,
and on solar energy, every little bit of drag counts. So just shell design has been a huge innovation because of solar racing, and something that all teams work on constantly is trying to find better use or better power storage, as well as better ways to use your power.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the batteries. Graham, how has battery technology come along, and what type of battery units is this car utilizing?
This car uses lithium-ion batteries, which are the most energy-dense that you can get on the market right now. Absolutely having changes from lead-acid batteries into nickel-cadmium, and now lithium-ion has been huge. It's seen huge improvements, both in reliability, in saving weight, and just overall being able to store power.
Okay, so we got a solar-powered vehicle, charges itself on the sun. How fast does it go?
So we design it to just about 70 miles an hour, but we have an operation point around between 40 and 50 miles an hour. That's often the speed at which we want to drive our car in the competition to be most efficient.
Yeah, it looks like strategy is a huge factor. Are you accounting for weather and downtime, repairs? How long does the race usually last?
Yeah, the competition is usually 7 to 8 days. This year, the competition is from October 8th to October 15th, and it's just over 3,000 kilometers, which is about 1,850 miles. We have to take into account as many different factors as we can. Weather is absolutely one of them, both where the clouds are each day and if we expect rain in 2 to 3 days. We have to account a little bit for breakdowns, but we're always hoping that that doesn't happen. And the characteristics of the car are also very, very important for us.
Yeah. Is there like a DNF category? Do many folks not finish? Is it that grueling, or what's the average finishing percentages?
There is always a number of teams that are not able to finish. I don't know a percentage off the top of my head, but being able to finish is really the first goal in entering this challenge, and that's really why it's called a challenge and not a race. We don't usually try to be there as fast as possible. It's mostly being able to get through that is the true challenge.
Well said, Graham. Patrick, you're in charge of the operations, the sort of the marketing sponsors. Who's on board? Who's some of the leaders in this industry that have signed up for sponsorship?
Well, we always get a huge helping hand from Delta. They let us use their facilities to basically do all of our composite work. And I don't know if we could really do it without their help, as well as 3M gives us just so many supplies. Ford was kind enough to donate wind tunnel time, which is awesome. It's let us really figure out best ways to design our car, as well as all the drag on our shell. I could keep going. We really do have to just give it up to our sponsors. This is a huge group effort, and without their support, I don't think we'd be able to do this.
Well, that's what innovation takes, leadership in the industry. You guys unveiled EOS 2, looks like a few days ago. Was it on the 11th? How was that grand event? Patrick?
It was pretty great. We were lucky, and the weather was in our favor, so we were able to keep it as an outside event. And everybody seemed to really like the new car. And I think this is one of the best-looking cars that we've ever managed to design in our program.
Yeah, would you mind if I thought that George Jetson would like it?
No, I wouldn't take any offense to that.
No, as long as you can make those little bubbling sounds as it drives away. Is it silent, by the way? Is it like a true electric hybrid that just sort of zips along silently?
Yeah, it's really quiet. The only thing you'll ever really be able to hear is sometimes the mechanics and the parking brake. But other than that, it's quiet as can be.
It's a cruiser, no doubt. And what are the other classes in the World Solar Challenge, Patrick?
The other ones are the Challenger class, which you're just graded on entirely by what place you finish. And then I suppose there's also the adventure class. That's just kind of, well, an adventure. Anybody can enter whatever. You can have solar-powered bikes, solar-powered anything.
Yeah, it looks very eclectic, a lot of repurposed vehicles. How many total gather out in the for the event? What's the, like, a, you know, thousands, I would say, between all the teams? What's it
like? A lot of people show up. It's really starting to build a fan base, too, so more and more people are showing up. And this year, like I said, there's 30 to 40 teams who are signed up, and everybody brings 15 or 20 people. So it's really starting to grow in size, which is great to see the community growing, especially for such an important ideal.
That's right. That's the 2017 Bridgestone World Solar Challenge, October 8th through the 15th. Where can folks learn more and follow? Is there like a real-time follow-along feature for your car once you're up and running, Patrick? Can you let us know all the media outlets for this?
Our Facebook is the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project, and our website is umnsvp.org. Our Facebook will be a really great place to look for all sorts of race updates. We will be doing our best to have constant video updates at least daily, as well as our Twitter, which is also at UMNSVP, should have short clips of race life every single day.
Nice. Thank you. Patrick Zimet from the Director of Operations for the Solar Vehicle Project. Graham Krumpelman, your Director of Engineering. Final parting questions. One, what's been one of the biggest challenges, the biggest engineering challenge your team has faced?
The biggest challenge is often the building. We have to design our parts in order to be built, and that's something that is very unique both for our team and for an educational experience. Often you design it, and then you move on to the next problem. But when you actually have to stick around and you learn where you've gone wrong, you learn how to be more efficient with your design and how to make it easier to build later as well.
Yes, learn from your mistakes. And how about driving it, Graham? Do you ever get a chance to pilot this vehicle? Or who's the – it looks like a special – person gets to drive, a special size, special weight. What's that like?
So there's not much limit as far as weight goes. We usually try to find somebody around 180 pounds, as anybody below that has to have a ballast with them by the regulation. But really what we're looking for is somebody who's most efficient at driving. So whoever doesn't have a lead foot. I got to be a driver on a previous car, but we'll still have to see who's going to drive this car.
All right, Graham. What about you, Patrick? What's it like driving EOS 2?
I haven't had a shot to drive EOS 2 yet, but I'm really excited for test driving because I'd love to sit and drive for at least an hour.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, gentlemen, and the University of Minnesota Solar Vehicle Project. Graham Krumpelman and Patrick Zimet, thanks so much for your time on the Roadhouse.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.